It's the Personal Edge Fitness Show, a guide to improved health and fitness. You deserve a successful lifestyle, and Garrett Williamson will show you how, dispelling the myths of fitness, nutrition, and health, because you deserve to live well. Now, the guide for your journey, your host, Garrett Williamson.
Well, if you're here in Chicago, you know it is time for the Personal Edge Fitness Radio Show. Hey, welcome, and I appreciate you tuning in today. This is Garrett Williamson. So glad to be behind the mic talking to y'all again today and actually going over a question today that I get quite often. So Charlie out back here running the boards, got everything going great for us, fantastic, so I think we're ready to get going. I talk a lot of times about my background. I mean, typically in every consultation, people want to know what our background is. Why are we qualified to do what we do? And actually, years ago, I had a client. In fact, I've got a story coming out of this on my podcast. I've got a client that asked me probably the greatest question I ever received on a consultation. And he sat down across from me, a very raspy voice. And in fact, when he came in, I literally didn't know if I was going to be running this consultation, or was he going to be running this consultation? But I'll never forget, he sat back, folded his arms, and looked at me, and he said, "What qualifies you to work with me?" And I was exactly, and folded his arms, sat back, and here I was, my test had begun. And I was a little intimidated. I felt like a boxer that had been punched, sucker punched a little bit, and I kind of stumbled a bit and started to regain my footing, and I started telling him a little bit about my background, and the more I thought about it, the more excited I got. All I could think was, wow, I wish every client would ask that of their trainer or potential trainer. And I have to tell you, as I started going through my resume, I started getting more excited and telling him all about why I knew I was more than qualified to work with him. And he seemed very satisfied. Actually, was a client for many years. But I thought about that. I thought, well, that's probably the greatest question that ever had a client ask me. And the reason I say that is that there's a little bit of fogginess, I guess you'd say, in our field. And what I mean by that is, what is a personal trainer? I mean, if I say doctor, if I say MD, you know what that is. If I say doctor, PhD, you know what that is. If I say physical therapist, most people know that's a licensed field, just like physician's licensed field. An accountant is a licensed field. Veterinarian. You don't have just anybody that just runs out and throws up a shingle and says, "Hey, I'm a veterinarian." That'd be illegal. You have to have a license for that field. They have degrees and quite a bit of education that goes into that. Believe it or not, in the state of Alabama and in many states, massage therapist. To be a massage therapist, you actually have to have a license to be a massage therapist. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the government being involved in anything that I do. But as far as this field is concerned, it's not licensed. And what does that mean? Well, that means that pretty well any Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, or Jane can call themselves a personal trainer. And I have to tell you that that's been, well, you can only imagine, but I've seen it. It's been horribly, horribly dangerous. So tonight I want to talk to you about what's the difference between a personal trainer and what we call ourselves, which is exercise physiologist. There's a huge difference, and we're going to go into that tonight. I have a guest coming on my show a little bit later who actually teaches in that field, and she can clarify a few things for us as far as that exercise physiology or kinesiology or the different science behind what we actually study. Now, you may not be familiar with this organization. It's kind of our governing body as far as fitness businesses are concerned, fitness and sport and what have you. It's the International Health Racket and Sports Club Association. The abbreviation is IHRSA. Now, IHRSA actually recognizes some certifications. And so I'm going to go over that in just a minute, and I'll talk to you about some of the things that they actually recognize. And then I'm going to tell you where we take it. At Personalized Fitness, we actually take it a step further. And the main reason we do that, the biggest reason, I'll tell you the answer to it right now, the main reason we do that is, first and foremost, safety. safety has a lot to do with it. Now, I told you that people ask about my background, and as I told you, this gentleman, when he sat down and said, "What qualifies you to work with me?" This is the answer he got. Even though I was an athlete, like a lot of people that get into this field, even weekend certified personal trainers, and I not only was an athlete in college, in high school and college, also taught gymnastics. Now, I was a pole vaulter in college and high school, but actually took gymnastics since I was 4 years old and actually taught it for 20 years. I'd actually worked out, that I've been working out since I was in high school. But I have a bachelor's degree in the field of exercise science. I actually took a four-year degree in exercise science at the University of Georgia. I followed that with a master's degree in fitness management. I got that with the United States Sports Academy, and in that course of study, because a lot of the things that I had learned in my bachelor's degree, of course, we repeated some of that in my master's degree, taking blood pressures and doing some basic evaluations and fitness testing, and we actually repeated a lot of that. Then in that course of study, I also did something known as a mentorship. Now, you may have heard of a mentorship or an internship. Mentorship's a little bit longer than an internship. Mine was actually, I had two of them. So I did a double mentorship, and then one of them was at St. John's facility in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at Siegfried Health Center. And I worked in a burgeoning cardiac rehab program there because I was learning to work with a senior clientele, and I knew that was going to be a field I was going to be working a lot with, and really enjoyed my experience there. In fact, I actually met somebody who was an exercise physiologist that was practicing personal training, and kind of helped lead me this way. And immediately after that, I took about a month off, and then went straight into another mentorship at Ken Cooper's facility, the Cooper Aerobics Research Facility in Dallas, Texas. Now, if you're a fan of the show, I'm sure you've heard me talk about Dr. Kenneth Cooper. Dr. Ken Cooper is the whole reason that I have a business. This is the man that's known as the father of fitness, and it is Dr. Ken Cooper. He has, not only does he have a master's in public health, he's also an MD, and he was, like my father, a flight surgeon in the Air Force. In 1960, Dr. Cooper wrote a book called Aerobics, and you've probably heard this story before. It's one I like to tell a lot. And at that time, physicians were telling their patients that over the age of 40 to not take stairs, to have first floor apartments, to take naps on a regular basis. And Dr. Cooper came out and said the exact opposite of that. No, he said, get up, get moving, and what have you. They actually called him a kook, and they said he really didn't know what he was talking about until he published his book, which was a national bestseller. And it was called Aerobics, which is really pretty well where that word made it into our lexicon, our common lexicon. And so he now has the world's largest fitness and research facility, largest fitness research facility in the world. And he has the longest running study on aging, which started in 1969, still going on to this day. So that launched the whole fitness business, I guess you'd say. So I really wanted to go study with the best, and so I actually did 3 months, not only in his research facility, but at his fitness facility out there. So that's a far cry. I have to say that's a far cry from reading a few books or getting online and answering a few questions and receiving a piece of paper through the mail. Now, we're going to talk more about exactly what it means to have a degree and what we actually study and why there is a big difference between personal training certification and an exercise physiology. Now, you're listening to the Personal Edge Fitness Radio Show. This is Garrett Williamson. And if you have a question, I've got two things going on here. I'm actually running this live also on Facebook. So if you have any questions, you're welcome to go to the Personal Edge Fitness Facebook page, and you actually see us there. You can send a comment through there. And then also, there's a phone line. It's a text line and a call-in line. And if you want to text, you're welcome to text anytime during the show. If you're going to call in, we're going to open up the lines at the bottom of the hour for actually phone calls. But that phone line is 251-343-0106. And like I say, it is not only a call-in line, it's also a text line. So if you have any questions, please reach out to us either one of those ways. We'd love to hear from you. And in a little bit, I've got Dr. Shelley Holden, who's the assistant chair of kinesiology at the University of South Alabama that'll shed some light on this subject. Stay tuned with me, and I'll see you in a minute.
Back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right, here we go. Fantastic. Hey, you're back on the Personal Edge Fitness Show. We're talking today about the difference between somebody just calls himself a personal trainer, or like I'm popular for saying, the weekend certified personal trainer, and actually an exercise physiologist. Now, before the break, I was talking about I call it the governing body. It's not really the governing body, but it's our industry organization, which is called the International Health Racket and Sports Club Association. We know of it as IHRSA. And IHRSA is a fantastic organization. I'm a member, I've been a member for years. And the IHRSA Board of Directors, actually in 2017, came out with a position on personal training. And the reason they did this, the last I checked, now I'm sure this number's gone crazy, but back in 2000, there were 1999, there were 360 different certifications. Now there are over 600 different personal training certifications, and somebody may call in and say, no, that number's doubled or what have you. So it's kind of absurd. So they needed to get a handle on this, on what they were even going to recognize as a personal training certification. Because like I said in the last segment, this field is not licensed. And so they actually came out with 17 different acceptable certifications. And I'm sure this affected people's fitness facilities and personal training facilities insurance, because that's something that the better insurance company, liability insurance companies, actually ask you is what's your background certification, what if you have a degree. But there were 17 different. Now, I'll tell you the difference between the way we do things at Personal Edge Fitness and what is accepted in the industry, let's say it that way. So out of those 17, there's only two. There's only two that we actually accept, and there's a third that we accept that's actually outside of the governing body of IHRSA from a different organization. So, and the reason being is because of what the knowledge you need to actually take those certifications. We're going to delve into that a little bit deeper in a minute, but excuse me. I have an authority on this subject. Knows far more about this than I do. Now, I've been to school for this, and this is something I've practiced for 29 years. Actually, after getting my bachelor's degree and my master's degree, I went to Atlanta, traveled to Atlanta to take my certification, and in that, it was just kind of interesting. That certification at the time, it's 65% pass rate, which I was very pleased that I did. It was a written test and a practicum, and even after having an undergraduate degree and finishing my master's degree within 3 months of doing my certification, I still needed to study for it. It was quite a bit of information. So glad that I did. So glad that I maintain it. But I've got somebody that's going to join me right now that actually knows quite a bit more about this. Joining me is Dr. Shelley Holden, who is the chair of the kinesiology department at the University of South Alabama. So welcome, Dr. Holden.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you being on, definitely. Now, before we get into this, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Sure. So my background, I'm actually from Canada.
Okay. What part of Canada? I've never asked you that.
Ontario, okay. About an hour north of Detroit, Michigan.
Right, okay. Okay.
And so as far as my background goes is I was a former high school and college athlete. I was a collegiate golfer.
Oh, okay.
Started out west at Brigham Young University, and decided I didn't like the winter weather there either compared to Canada, and so I transferred down to South Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Finished my eligibility there, and again decided I didn't like the winters, so once I got my degrees, I decided to stay.
Oh, good.
Down in this
good.
Area.
Well, we're really glad to have you, and at Personal Edge, we definitely are, because we've enjoyed such a great relationship with you guys, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but kinesiology, that's a mouthful.
Sure.
What is that? Break that down for us.
You know, and it's certainly something that I get asked all the time, and I would say, you know, that the easiest way is just the study of movement.
Right.
It's our department is actually the Health Kinesiology and Sport Department.
Okay.
And so our largest program is the exercise science program. And we have a number of students in those areas that study, again, the idea of movement.
Sure. Yeah. I got you. Okay. And huge difference between, and I mean, people have asked me this question before about, because we say at Personal Edge, we have degrees in exercise science, exercise physiology, kinesiology, sport medicine, athletic training.
Sure.
Now, leaving sport medicine, athletic training aside, we'll talk about those in a minute. But those three, exercise science, kinesiology, exercise physiology, there's quite a bit of overrun on those two, on those three, correct?
Sure. And I would say, too, for the people out there looking at whether it be degree programs or the certifications or degree programs that their personal trainer comes from is, you know, you have kinesiology, you have exercise physiology, some have, you know, the pre-PT, OT, those types of programs as well. And so within the realm of exercise science, there is certainly a lot of different areas, but there is absolutely the scientific overlap of many of those courses that study movement.
Right, of course, yeah. And that's what my degree was actually in exercise science. Mm-hmm. And then I want to say that kinesiology seemed to come. I mean, I got my undergraduate degree and finished in 91. And kinesiology seemed to me like it started to really kind of grab hold and become more popular. So
sure, it's kind of an umbrella term that, you know, where many probably of your listeners remember it as the old physical education.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these degrees fell under that, title years ago. And so it's evolved into this idea of kinesiology. And so within our department, health, kinesiology, and sport, we do still have the traditional physical education teacher or health education teacher.
Sure.
But the idea is the study, like I said, of movement. And of course, like I said, our largest program is the exercise science.
Right. Program. Well, okay, you study a movement. That does cover a lot.
Sure.
But what classes are they taking? What are they actually going into?
Sure. So when you look at our two tracks under exercise science program, we have the pre-professional and the health and fitness track.
Sure.
They're taking courses such as exercise physiology, exercise testing and prescription, anatomy and physiology, one and two. So they're doing a number of different coursework in studying the body, how it functions, how it moves, nutrition, sports nutrition, some things like that as well.
I got you. And I know that goes along, at least when I was taking, I knew that we had prerequisites for different for different classes. And I'm sure that our listeners are know of prerequisite in different courses. But there's when I look back at that, well, I'm glad there's no way I didn't want to take, you know, physiology until I knew something about anatomy and what have you. So where do y'all kind of begin? Where's the foundation?
So one of the things that we really revamped our exercise science curriculum about a year or so ago.
Right.
And so what we do is we do have prerequisites in place as well as grades prerequisites in place. So the idea being is there's those foundational courses, you know, the 100 and 200 level courses that are prerequisites for many of our upper division courses.
Right.
And so again, when you're looking at your anatomy and physiology, those are extremely important before you take kinesiology.
Of course.
You know, and so we've put those checks and balances in place to better prepare our students for the professional world and the certifications or the occupations or the career path that they're going to follow.
Right. And I want to get into the certification in just a few minutes because there's quite a bit of information, a lot of clarity that's needed in understanding the certifications. But for instance, anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
I know that is there one anatomy class? Is there one or two anatomy classes? How's that?
So typically there's two anatomy and physiology courses, I would say, within the different areas within my department. As far as the majors go, the majority in the exercise science will take both anatomy and physiology courses, a one and a two. Some of the health and or physical education may take one or both.
Right.
But those are pretty standard requirements when you're looking at getting a degree in kinesiology.
Sure. Well, and for those who may not know, that anatomy is basically this understanding the body itself. I mean, it goes much farther than the old Dim Bones song, you know, the ankle bone's connected to the foot bone, the foot bone's connected to the leg bone. Okay. There's quite a bit of more. Charlie, I'm sorry, were you going to sing a couple of bars? I didn't want to stop you.
No, I was going to encourage you not to sing.
Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate that. So thank you for turning your mic off, too. I appreciate that, too. No, but anatomy it takes a lot more than that. So like the anatomy one, and I know that the graduates we've had come from your program that have become trainers or even interns for Personal Edge have taken both one and two. Yep. All of them have. But let's say one. How much time are they spending in that? I mean, how much time does that
so
take?
So one of the things, first off, those courses are offered campus-wide. And so one of the things I would say is the students in our program typically are taking the anatomy and physiology at some of our nursing and some of our medical
right.
students are taking. So that's something. You know, sure. There is a lower sure. level anatomy, but typically our exercise science students are taking the higher level.
Right.
As far as course credit, you're looking at a four-hour course that okay. includes a lab.
Right.
And so typically the anatomy and physiology one would be a semester, which wow. is a 16-week course,
wow.
followed by anatomy and physiology two, which again is another 16-week course for a traditional semester.
Right.
You know, obviously
right.
the summertime is a little bit different.
Right. Okay. And that's what I'm getting at. I mean,
yeah.
16 weeks just for anatomy one, if you don't mind me calling
no,
that.
No, sure.
And then I guess, is it a 200-level course for anatomy two? Is that a 200-level course or not?
Well, and that's, again, the university's got a couple different selections, sure. but usually they're both, the lower level are both 100-level courses,
okay.
but
okay.
typically our students are taking in the 200-level.
Right,
and
right.
so they would be two 200-level courses.
Okay. So then, you know, like I say, that the trainers that have come in our program from the exercise physiologists that come out of your program have had both of those, I know,
mm-hmm.
and so that's two different 16-week just on anatomy and physiology,
sure.
learning the body. And that's where I find, you know, the big difference in, of course, and we're talking about education, fully understanding the body. We're doing complex movements with folks, you know, and,
sure.
and understanding exercises, learning exercises,
sure.
reading Men's Health or something, learning exercises is one thing. But understanding what exactly is happening in the body, that's what you're talking about in physiology.
Sure. And so I think, you know, you kind of are making me think of a few things popped
sure,
in my head
please.
As far as credentialing. You know, you look at our program, it's a 120-hour program.
Wow.
And so, you know, you start looking, of course, like many former college
right.
Graduates, you had a number of your general core courses. But
right.
for us, of that 120 hours, there's, you know, a number of upper-level courses that,
wow.
again, are 16 weeks apiece, typically.
Sure.
We also have internship opportunities where they're
right.
having, an opportunity to work out in the field in an area that interests them.
Sure.
But when you think, you know, anatomy and physiology, 16 weeks, you right. think, you know, your exercise physiology, your kines, you know,
right.
as well as strength and conditioning and a number of those other courses we offer. It is a lot of contact hours, learning about the body and you know, and the movements.
Right. Immersed in it as opposed to just, you know, picking up different exercises, which is also important. We'll talk about that in the next
sure.
segment a little bit about, you know, learning the exercises themselves. But understanding, I love the way that y'all approach it by understanding the body and how it moves first before you're learning how to do different exercises,
sure.
I guess you'd say, which is pretty easy. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the certifications that are out there, and because there are some that you, I believe, kind of gear your program more towards if you have somebody going in that field. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
sure.
but I'm sure that's part of it. And also, exercise physiology, personal training, of course, is what I love to talk about. It's what I do. But there's a lot of other fields also that exercise physiologists go into. Hey, we're coming back in just a moment. You're listening to the Personal Edge Fitness Show. I'm Garrett Williamson.
Rain going down till the sun comes up.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Okay, welcome back to the show. This is Garrett Williamson with the Personal Edge Fitness Show, and we're talking today about degreed or exercise physiologists and actually what they are and the background and what they go through as far as education. And my guest today is Dr. Shelley Holden. She's the chair with the kinesiology department at the University of South Alabama. And we were talking before the break about some of the coursework involved in receiving a degree from this university, and typically most universities in this field. And we were talking about 16-week courses. I mean, 16 weeks spent just in anatomy and physiology. But you said it was a 102-hour course, so
120 hours.
Excuse me. Of course, but during the break, we were talking about some different aspects. I want to talk about some of the new things you've got going on over there, which I'm really excited to hear about. But before I do that, we're going to be opening up the phone lines, and if you have a question for myself or Dr. Holden, you can contact us either via text or you can call in to 251-343-0106. And the phone lines are open now. You can also comment on Facebook. We're live right now on the Personal Edge Fitness page. And we're on the live on the Personal Edge Fitness page. You're welcome to leave a comment there. But before the break, during the break, I should say, you were telling me about some of the things. Now, we've had a relationship with the South Alabama before. I looked it up before I got on the show for 18 years now.
Really?
Yeah, and wow. We'll talk about that because I want to after you tell me some of the new things going on. I want to talk about that program, which is the internship program, which we find extremely valuable. But some of the new things you've got going on in the program.
Sure. So I would say one of the things that that's changed is we've had some turnover in faculty in the last probably 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've recruited is some young talent who are very hands-on.
Right.
And so some of the things that we've added to some of these 16-week courses that we're talking about is practical laboratory-type situations.
Oh, I love it.
The ability to, to do VO2 max as far as some of the testing, some of the strength and conditioning type, where the students have an opportunity to go in a weight room and learn about the different lifts and to learn the proper way. And so instead of just sitting in a classroom that maybe happened, 15, 20 years ago, we're transformed our program into certainly in a teaching and an educational setting, but we also have the space now, the laboratory space to do more hands-on for our students.
Oh, that's fantastic. So like we were talking in the last segment about learning, first thing we're going to do is going to learn the body.
Sure.
We're going to learn how the body moves. And then, I love this, now you're putting the practical side in it, where you're actually going in and teaching the different exercises.
So. Sure. And so you can kind of think about it this way. Many of us know what our blood pressure should be, and we can talk about numbers and we can talk about it, but to actually physically take somebody's blood pressure is a whole lot different than just discussing it. And so I think if you kind of think it in that simplistic of a manner. Sure. The idea is you maybe know what a one repetition max is, or you maybe know what the different lift is or the different movement. Right. But to actually physically explain it to somebody show somebody how to do it, it's a little bit different. And probably for many people, a little bit scary. So the more experience, like with taking blood pressure or with doing some of these fitness type activities or testing, you just get better at it. And that's the idea is we want to put out qualified qualified students.
And that was something we noticed early on that we would get and we're talking about years ago now. We've been in business for 20 years but years ago we were having students come out of school, and unless they had actually spent time working out or what have you, they knew the anatomy and the physiology, but they really didn't know how to put it together with
functional movements. Sure.
Exactly. And that's so important. I've seen it in my career. Now, I've been a personal trainer for 29 years, and I spent the longest, so much time at the very beginning trying to decriminalize Olympic lifting. Because,
sure.
I mean, this is something that developed in the 60s, and then people started, then all of a sudden physicians were telling people not to do it and what have you. And I don't blame them, because it was an easy progression. The people that actually developed these lifts knew how to do them.
Sure.
And then you had people watch them and try to figure it out themselves, started hurting themselves. Mm-hmm. And so, Doc, after getting the 15th, 24th, 105th person that came in and said, I was doing this, mm-hmm. so it hurt me. The medical community started saying, hey, quit doing that.
Sure.
And I don't really blame them. It's mainly because people didn't know how to do it. And we lost, for years, lost the ability to train people in that, because people came and said, the last thing I want to do is Olympic lifting. And now, of course, it's back in vogue.
Sure.
The thing that scares me about that is so many people that are practicing it that don't have the anatomy, the physiology, and understand the movements. I'm so glad y'all are putting that practical part in the program.
Yeah. And I think kind of where, one of the things that we wanted to talk about too is this idea of, when you're hiring a personal trainer, what should you be looking for? And I think one of the things that our listeners need to be aware of is the idea of certifications.
Sure, you know? Absolutely.
And
yeah.
So one of the things, you know, of course, our graduates come out with a degree.
Right.
But it makes them eligible with that degree to sit for certain professional certifications.
And you recommend a certification on top of the degree.
Absolutely.
I can't agree with you more. Absolutely. So definitely. So.
And so some of them, as far as the undergrad, the idea of the certified strength and conditioning coach.
Right.
And so I think, again, for the listeners is asking that question as far as if a personal trainer says they're certified. By whom?
Right.
You
right,
know?
Right, right.
And I think that's sometimes we hear the term certification and we think all are the same, and they're certainly not.
Oh, definitely not. And also, like a degree certification situation. In fact, when I called you within the last month, I think y'all were going through a process.
Sure.
Of accreditation.
We were. We sure were.
And what's the accreditation body that?
So our college, of course, is a college of education and professional studies. So it was actually the teacher education part of the college was going through CAPE accreditation.
Okay, yeah.
And again, I think the idea of the certification too and accreditation is putting out the best product possible.
Absolutely. And where I was going with that is I'm actually an evaluator for an accreditation body for different schools, independent schools and colleges. But the certification itself mm-hmm. has to be an accredited certification.
Absolutely.
And there's so many of them that aren't out there that aren't. In fact, like I said, IHRSA only recognizes 17. Of those, there's a few we take, and I think you know which ones they are. I'm curious if we have the same.
So National Strength and Conditioning.
Awesome.
That's NSCA, of course, the ACSM.
Right.
Those are ones that typically our graduates will sit for. Another one that's a little bit newer is the idea ACSM actually has now a clinical exercise physiologist certification, and that's actually available with a master's degree. To have a master's degree, our students can sit for that. So
that's awesome.
Even a higher level of certification if your personal trainer has that.
Yeah. And the ACSM, for those who don't know, is I call it the gold standard, and it happens to be where my certification. I have a ACSM HFI, Health Fitness Instructor, was my original designation on that. But it's the American College of Sport Medicine, and if I'm not wrong, there's some of their books that you actually use. I don't know if you still use them. I'm curious.
We do.
Testing and guidelines?
We do in the exercise testing and prescription. We use a number of their print material.
Right.
And even in a basic 200-level nutrition course that I teach, I still look at some of the ACSM guidelines for different aspects of body composition and some of those types of things that our students are exposed to. And then nutritionally, too, you have the ACSM guidelines as far as macronutrient intake, as far as your fats, carbohydrates, and proteins.
Oh, fantastic. And I appreciate you pointing that out because, as I like to tell a lot of people, there are so many different certifications out there. A lot of the certifications use the books of what I call the gold standard. And I don't want to discredit by any means some of those that I know that you have a lot of experience working with, NSCA, National Strength and Conditioning Association.
No, absolutely.
And they have one of the – I have to say it's one of the most difficult. And because of that, it's such a fantastic certification, and that certified strength and conditioning specialist. We have quite a few CSCS on our staff. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to touch on this, and I don't know – I know your background is in kinesiology and also in nutrition. I want to talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
But the other field that we actually accept are NATA, mm-hmm. which is National Athletic Trainers Association. And there's two designations. Typically, as far as the degrees are concerned, sport medicine and athletic trainer, mm-hmm. but they have an NATA BOC.
Yep.
And the reason we do that, and I don't want to get into this too much because we're really talking about kinesiology, but that's because that's a rehab based field, and we see so much of that kind of rehab.
Sure, and I would say too to the listeners out there, something that's kind of changed in that field in the last couple years is the athletic trainers now are being certified at a master's degree level. The bachelor's
Fantastic.
Degree programs around the country have converted to what's called an entry-level master's. So you're not going to see many bachelor's – or you're not going to see bachelor's programs anymore.
Right,
and that's which again, the idea being with the NATA is their graduates will be –
Yes,
you know, higher educated,
and that's what I
degree.
Like about it is that they're constantly like. All right, first thing, you're updating your program, and we've had a great relationship. I mean, one of our one example I like to use a lot is one of our interns from 6 years ago is now running our facility in Eastern Shore because he's so well trained, and Joshua Gooch has got a degree from South Alabama, but you've had that program grow. Even since then, but then you've got the agencies and institutions themselves
mm-hmm.
making stricter requirements, and mainly because, I mean, it's a science. It's ongoing. It's evolving, and this is where you're keeping up with all the information.
So. Absolutely, and even too, some of the things we've done is we've added some more courses. So one of the things we've added in the last year is for new students coming into our exercise science program, they will be required to take a second exercise physiology. We'll have
fantastic.
An exercise physiology 1 and 2, and if we go back to the calculations, those are two more 16-week courses piece that, again, will help with that foundation of knowledge.
Even further educated. I love it. Even more information. Now, I know we're getting drawn a little close here, and we'll continue on the second segment, next segment if we have to, but I want to touch on a little bit of your passion, if I'm saying that correctly, which is sport nutrition.
Sure. So that's something as a former high school coach, an athlete, myself, collegiate athlete. It's just something I've spent a lot of time studying, and I do myself and one of the other exercise science instructor or assistant professors. We teach the undergraduate nutrition course.
Fantastic.
We did just add the sport nutrition course to the new degree program for the exercise science majors. It's a great field. It's always evolving.
Exactly.
And we certainly could do a whole segment on the do's and don'ts with nutrition as well as far as the misinformation that's out there.
Fantastic. It looks like you just invited yourself back on the show, Shelley. I think that's fantastic. I'd love to have you. Absolutely. So, and actually, I'm glad to hear that because there are so many people that assume that a personal trainer, knows about nutrition.
Sure.
And I hate to say this, that so many people assume that physicians do, that they've learned about nutrition.
Right.
And I'm glad to see now that the course is actually being taught, especially in this level. So, and glad to have somebody with that kind of passion involved in this program.
Well, and like I said, so for us now, the students that are coming out of the exercise science program will have two courses, a basic nutrition course that many of the nursing majors take, but also now one in sports nutrition. So it's pretty exciting.
Good. Yeah, I'm sure it is. I would guess the students are eager to learn about it.
They are. And again, we've offered the course, but now with it being a requirement, I always had a number of students as an elective, and we certainly now with it being a requirement, we'll have a lot of students in that. The same as with the exercise physiology too. The faculty spent a lot of time planning, and it's going to be great for the students when they graduate.
Well, when we come back, we're going to get into talking about why we have a relationship with the university, because I think it's a huge part of your program. I know it's very valuable to us, and it's one of the keys to our success. Hey, stay with us. I'm talking with Dr. Shelley Holden of the University of South Alabama Department of Kinesiology.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Hey, welcome back. My guest today is Dr. Shelley Holden, with the chair of the Department of Kinesiology at the University of South Alabama. We're talking about having a degree, the difference between having a degree in the field of fitness. And especially in our world, of course, having a degree in the field and hiring a trainer that has a degree in the field versus just a different certification. Now, we talked about the different fields, the different things that you study, anatomy, physiology, and then you're talking about the labs that you do, and now you're getting into a much more practical part of it, not only learning the anatomy, but also knowing how to do the exercises and actually doing a lab on that, doing these 16-week labs of studying that. But there's a step that you guys take, which a lot of universities do, that I'm a huge fan of. It's actually where I learned. I actually learned my business. I actually learned. I knew all about anatomy and physiology when I got out of my master's degree and my undergraduate degree. But then, how do you actually deal with clients? How do you put this into play? And you have a program that actually addresses that.
We do. And first of all, I'd like to thank our former chair, Dr. John Kovalescu, who's now the associate dean. I think you maybe came through.
Big fan of Dr. K. Yes,
and
fantastic.
So one of the things that he developed is a lot of partnerships around Mobile in terms of internships. Sure. The way that our internship program works is dependent on the program the student's in. They may have a 9-hour internship or less. So, for example, every 3-hour college course that our students take as an internship equals 125 hours out in the field.
Wow.
And so, you know, when you get into a student that's got a 9-hour internship, you're looking at 375 contact hours out in the field before they even graduate. And I think that's been a huge plus, I think, in terms of the relationships that that we've established over the years. And again, it's, you know, it was something that was developed by Dr. John Kovalescu, and we're continuing with that tradition by offering, you know, having our students out in the field in quality.
I'll tell you, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of this university. I'm born and raised in this town, and I'm a big fan of this university because it's done so much for this town. And this is just one. I hate to say small because it's very significant to us, but just another way that you guys reach out to the community. Dr. Kovalescu, who I'm a big fan of, and but Dr. K and I started this relationship, like I say, so many years ago. He actually came to my facility, and I contacted him about, you know, the internship program was so valuable in my education that we wanted an opportunity. Since I have the most qualified staff in the Southeast on my staff, I wanted a chance for the students to learn, of course, from these guys. But also, I mean, we're looking for qualified trainers. We're looking for the best. And so when I contacted him about it, he said not only would he be interested in speaking to us about it, but he came down and met with us, and we started this relationship. Sure. So the what qualifications do you have for a site being a provider or what?
So I think, again, with being chair, I have a number of different internship sites in terms of when you look at the sport management area, the therapeutic recreation, health, and then, of course, the idea of the personal training. And so I think one of the things that we certainly is we have the student typically interviews the internship site to first of all to see if it's a good fit for them, and then from an administrative standpoint, there's contracts, as I'm sure you remember, the legal contracts, but there's also typically the faculty coordinator usually meets with the interested party, or at least speaks with them as far as trying to develop a relationship or a partnership.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and we went through, I wanted you to tell our listeners that, of course, we went through that process, and gladly, because we've had some fantastic interns come through. And I'll have to, the school does not just turn them loose. I know that for a fact because we've had over the years we've had, I mean, just some fantastic interns. Sure. But if we ever had any challenges or an intern really wasn't sure they wanted to do that or whatever, the university worked hand in hand with us on that. I mean, it was really great.
And so, I would say from a chair's perspective, I still have interns myself.
Right?
And I actually made some visits yesterday with it, yesterday being the first day of spring break. And so that's one of the things that I asked my program coordinators to do, or internship supervisors, to go out in the field. I also like them to take pictures of of our interns out in the field, so we can use them on our webpage. And again, promote what they're doing and where they are, and and again, the idea being that we've got that experiential learning or service learning, you know,
exactly. Field. Well, and it, that's become so valuable to us that they are. I don't think we hire trainers now that haven't had that kind of experience, and it's a area that we actually look for trainers, of course. So, like I keep mentioning, Joshua Gooch, we've got Antela Nerva was who was a an intern with us, and go back and look at, I mean, different other people that we've had come through the program, but that's so valuable. They get a chance to actually work in the field, and it's an eye-opening experience for them too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, because one thing reading about it, but then can the different thing about putting it into play. So, and these guys work. Now, y'all are very strict about the fact that you don't want your interns just coming over and taking out trash and whatever. You want them actually doing, which we do. I mean, I remember doing a lot of that kind of stuff myself, but making sure they're getting an education.
So one of the things every intern has to do within, regardless of their area in the department, they have to turn into their supervisor the idea of different things that they're going to do, far as objectives.
Sure.
And the idea of the objectives that they submit are measurable. So they're things that they, you know, that they can determine, we can as supervisors determine that they actually did. And so in some of the programs, they have weekly check-ins and daily journals and logs. But the idea is they've got objectives that they're supposed to meet, and those should be negotiated with the site to make sure, number one, that they can happen.
Right.
And number two, so that both parties involved know what each other wants out of the internship experience.
Exactly. Our intern director handles that when they do the interviews and sit down and talk with the students coming in. And on our end, we make sure that they meet those. We always tell them, hey, look, if there's something you're not seeing, let us know. Make sure that we're covering that. So, all right. Now, I want to get back to the nutrition, though.
Okay.
Because this is something that I know that you're a fan of, and I like the fact that you've got such a passion for that. So, but you're published.
I am. You know, I think one of the things that many of the people in my department, we have certainly written a number of articles.
Right.
I've had the opportunity to write a small book. I've gotten the opportunity to work with some others and write book chapters as well.
Right.
But I would say it certainly was a learning experience. It was fun.
Right. What was your book on?
I wrote it with a gentleman from Oklahoma State University, and it was a sport nutrition book for youth coaches.
Right.
Because, again, with my passion being coaching and nutrition, I think that's an avenue that sometimes, especially children, youth are often given misinformation from, whether it be their coaches and sometimes parents who are just misinformed.
Sure.
And so we felt like we wanted to create kind of a practical book that group could use to hopefully better educate the youth in terms of sport nutrition.
Right, okay. No, that's fantastic. But tell them where they can get the book if they're interested.
Now,
this is because we've got so many people that we speak to all the time. But I was just talking. In fact, I was just talking to a father of a swimmer, and we were talking about this very thing. So where could they get that?
Sure. So it's actually on Amazon.
All right.
Dr. Timothy Baghurst and myself. I'm Dr. Shelley Holden. It's probably about 100-page book.
Right.
Some of the other things I worked on, of course, are textbook chapters and things like that in sports nutrition.
Sure.
We just had one come out in January, I believe. And so I'm not quite sure. I think that one's on Amazon as well.
It's kind of a
coaching book.
The title of it.
The latest textbook that just came out is a Coaching for Performance.
Right. And the title of your book
is Sports Nutrition for Youth Coaches.
Great, fantastic. I appreciate you asking that, Charlie, because I want to make sure that's a fantastic topic. We get questions about that all the time, and I want to make sure somebody gets a chance to do that. So now I'm going to go ahead and remind everybody that and I've got lots of witnesses here that you already agreed to come back on, because I'd like to get a little deeper into that sport nutrition, especially if we can talk about it as far as kids are concerned.
Yeah,
and I think that would be something that a lot of people would love to hear about.
Sure, absolutely. I think that's a market that's kind of near and dear to me, having been a high school coach and a club USA volleyball coach.
Right. Oh yeah,
and working with the United States Volleyball Association nutrition. Coaching education program.
So, if anybody has any questions, possibly concerning that topic, but definitely about going into exercise physiology, doing this, getting into this field, can they contact you?
Sure. Absolutely. Again, I'm Dr. Shelley Holden. I'm the chair of the Health Kinesiology and Sport Department at South Alabama. Our telephone number is 251-460-7131. That's my main office line.
Right.
And my email's just sholden@southalabama.edu, and I gladly take any questions that anybody's got.
Fantastic. And that's a great resource we have in our community. And once again, how USA is reaching out to the community. So thank you so much for being on with us. Sure appreciate it. So folks, listen, when you're the reason I had Dr. Holden come on, and the reason I delve into this, and the reason we, for 20 years, have always required, we've always required a degree in the field of either exercise physiology, kinesiology, exercise science, athletic training, or sport medicine, the most important reason is safety. We want to make sure that when you come to personalized fitness, that first, like the Hippocratic Oath, we do no harm. And we want to maintain what you've already got and just enhance it and make it better. If we can do that for you or help you in any way find your level of wellness, feel free to contact us at either at Garrett@personalizedfitness.com or call us at 251-341-0927. We are more than dedicated to enhancing this community like South Alabama does. We're also very dedicated to our clients. We're dedicated to you because we want to do anything we can to help you find your level of wellness. Thank you so much for joining us.
This has been the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you live a successful lifestyle. Continue the journey next Tuesday at 6, when Garrett Williamson brings you another edition of the Personal Edge Fitness Show on FM Talk 106.5.